You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for August 9th, 2019. It's Not Safe for Work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where Joaquin Castro's list brings all the trolls to the yard, it's The Professional Left with Drift Class and Blue Gal.
We record this podcast in two separate rooms. I'm in the front room, and he's in the back room of our bungalow.
The west wing of the house and the east wing of the house. It's quite a jaunt between the two, but we manage.
We're about 12 feet apart.
We're in two different congressional districts, frankly.
This is a little house.
It's a little house.
Yeah, in fact, when I got this house, Driftglass and I were not married. And
no.
I was not sure that I didn't know what was going to happen with our relationship at that point, but it did appear to me at the time that this house would always and forever be too small for you because you're so tall, and you've lived here for a few years now.
I've been here a while, and honey, the world is too small for me.
I know. Well, Driftglass is 6'8", so it is really, he knows where the low bridges are in this house, including the basement where you were
I wore a bike helmet in the basement. And you know what? I have used that bike helmet in the basement many times. Yeah. I have clipped my head many, many times on the beams and the ductwork.
It's so low ceiling down there. But
it is.
Anyway, it's been a long, long, hard week.
It has. It's been bad.
Starting with
just bad.
Two very horrific shootings last weekend, and then turmoil. And I don't know how you feel about it, Driftglass. To me, this week felt like a real tipping point.
Yeah, this felt like the week of the Women's March in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
when some very clear line was crossed that you only see in retrospect. That this, we're done. We're done now. We're done. We're done playing nice. We're done pretending these people are decent. We're done, you know, playing patty cake with both siderists who want everyone to be blamed on both sides for every Republican atrocity. We're just done. And it felt like a whole lot of people catching up with where the left has been for a long time. And saying, oh, hell yeah. No, we're not doing this anymore. Especially, frankly, women.
Yep.
Especially members of the Latino community.
Yeah.
Who had been written, I was reading a couple of articles, who had largely been written out of the story in El Paso.
Yeah.
The story was about the shooter and the carnage and the rage and Trump and white supremacy, and that this was the largest, you know, mass murder of Latinos in American history.
And that the shooter targeted the community and the race of the people in that community. Yes. And that's something that we can't forget. It was a hate crime.
It was. Charlie Pierce, I agree with him firmly. This was, we have reached the point where you can have a one-person lynch mob.
Yeah.
And that's what this was. And if a lot of people, other people, you know, you had a lot of other casualties along the sides, well, that's just the way things go. When you're, you know, when you're carrying out the president's directives to turn back the invasion from the South.
That's exactly what the rhetoric of this campaign and this party is about. It is the party. It is the Republican Party's position that immigration is an invasion.
Right.
And from the South of the border.
The reason this is bad, and the reason the invasion from Canada or Norway or England
or Swedish bathing suit models,
we never hear about people who are here undocumented from those countries, because this is a driven by a white supremacist ideology from the top, right through the Republican Party. And if you are still a Republican, you are either a racist white supremacist or you're really cool with it because they're cutting your taxes,
right?
Or you're just an idiot, but. You know, they've pretty much gathered the worst people in the country into one party. And this week felt like the great clarification.
Yeah, I think that's how I feel about it, is that now that it is targeting with ammo. I mean, all of the evil, all of the really bad things about Republican ideology came together.
Right.
Right. Racism.
They did.
Xenophobia. Toxic masculinity, guns.
Yeah. And guns for everybody. Lots of guns that shoot huge amounts of incredibly lethal battlefield level ammo at a lot of people in a hurry, all of which are things Republicans rejoice on, get off on. This is their thing. This is their all their ideologies. You're absolutely right. All of their data points came together in one moment, and this is what it looks like. Yeah.
And then you have the so-called president doing a thumbs up campaign pose with the baby that was orphaned during the shooting.
Which reminded me nothing so much as Saddam Hussein posing with child hostages.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because, you know, tyrants love their human shields. And so we're just going to get that baby out here. And it was just the creepiest fucking thing.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it was just. This is just
the adult victims wanted to meet him.
No.
And so the Trump supporting uncle of this baby, and I'm very grateful that this baby has a family, and unlike the children of those arrested by ICE around the same time at the food processing plant, the Coke food processing plant in Mississippi, you know, this baby has a supportive family around him. And, you know, we are separating families again, not at the border, but in Mississippi by arresting workers and doing raids. And it is nearly Gestapo 700 tactics. Yep.
It is. And I looked at the creature leering out of that picture. Just this dead smile on his face, this, you know, apprentice end of episode smile on his face. And I don't recognize anything human in there at all. He's
deeply
a beast.
Ill.
He's a monster.
He's deeply ill. And his wife tweeted this picture. That's where this picture comes from, is her Twitter stream.
Yeah.
So.
And if you're cool with that, if that's okay, or if you're hiding out in the Fox News bunker, pretending that, you know, Antifa's the real
problem. Well, and there's that. And I think that's a lot of what you and I see around here in Springfield, Illinois.
It is
self-justification times seven. You know, it's both sides and Antifa, and Elie Mystal said pitchforks and torches. So, you know, it's the violent left, and shouldn't everyone on the left be arrested for being so evil and violent?
Well, I didn't mention, I mean, we might as well just jump into it if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure.
That our local newspaper, and this is, in my notes, I have David Brooks. This is not a David Brooks post, but David Brooks now more than ever. Because from the mainstream media and the national media right down to our local newspaper, this week proved how critically important the both sides do it lie is to the right. They cannot survive without it, because when everything goes horribly wrong, when the shit boils over, this is where they dive for cover. This is straight. They always go straight to the both sides argument. And if you are in charge of tending that argument, of propping it up, of strengthening it, which is what the mainstream media does every fucking day, then you are providing shelter, aid, and comfort to the enemy. And you're doing it on purpose. And this is where Tom Brokaw went there this week.
Oh my gosh.
And Hugh Hewitt did it this week. Donna fucking Brazil was on Fox News just going, well, sure, Donald Trump talks shit, but, you know, Joaquin Castro published a list, so everyone should tone it fucking down.
It's only when we push back that message comes out. It is only when
we punch
black
back
and brown and women, black and brown people and women push back and say fuck no, that we need to really turn down the temperature comes out.
And last week I did a whole riff that I'm not going to repeat on David Brooks simply writing the entire Republican Party out of existence.
Right.
There is no Republican Party. There are pluralists and there are fascists and terrorists, but there's not left and right. There's not Republicans and Democrats, and there's Democrats and there's Trump. Not an entire party behind him. He's just all by himself out there. And the reason I point this out to the point of nausea is that this is true all the way down. So our local paper, which is a gatehouse, you know, shithole that employs 14 people and it's being stripped for parts, and you know it's not going to last another year or two, they're squeezing every last nickel out of the place. by pandering to the largely right-wing, largely octogenarian, largely Fox News-viewing Trump supporters that live all around us. That's the people who pay their subscription. That's who puts food on their table. So Gatehouse Media put their official imprimatur on an editorial in which they blamed everybody. And who do they call out? Well, it's real important that we not have partisanship. It's the current divisive partisan political climate that's the problem, Blue Gal.
Partisan. And
they used the word we 12 times. They didn't use the word Republican once. Didn't use the word Democrat once. I pointed out that there's this cool site called the Congressional Record, where if you're an actual journalist, you could, you know, look shit up and actually tell us who is only offering prayers and thoughts and who's actually talking about guns. But apparently that's too much for the Gatehouse Media people. Instead, they talk about the senseless slaughter that outrages all of us, no matter the party we belong to. And far too often, our elected leaders are mute about the president's attacks. And finally, all of us should demand that our elected representatives find the political will and the courage to find these answers. Fuck you.
Wow.
This is what we're talking about. It's everywhere. This both sides shit, this place where cowards and traitors hide, is part of the media. They built it and they're maintaining it because, man, once that disappears, if that collapses, there's no more Tom Brokaw because he's out of a fucking job. Chuck Todd's out of a job. Half the people in the media are out of a job. And there's no place left for the fascists to hide. There's nobody's going to buy the next time there's a Republican atrocity, Tucker Carlson running around with his hair on fire talking about the violent left.
Right.
The people in Fox News will still buy that because they are lost. They're dead from the neck up and we're never getting them back. But everyone else will know, oh, that's that lie that right-wing violent assholes tell themselves to justify their right-wing violent asshole behavior. And they don't do that now because the New York Times and the Washington Post, all the way down to the State Journal Register, are devoted to giving aid and comfort to the enemy by giving them a place to hide. And that's why I've been writing about this now for almost 15 years. It's not getting any better. They're getting more desperate because it's clearly a punchline now among the left, among the good guys. This whole both sides shit is clearly a joke now. It's just we just rattle it off like, oh, it's Donna Brazile being a Fox News token liberal. She's their Alan Combs now.
Let's connect that to Brittany Kaiser and the Great Hack because I think it's the same thing.
Wonderful, wonderful. Highly recommend. Thank you for dragging me to see that, honey.
Oh yeah, on Netflix. It's on all the way to the living room to watch the Great Hack.
All the way to our West Wing. You know, it's across the house.
Which interestingly, I've noticed people on Twitter, right wingers on Twitter, demanding that people delete their Netflix account because of something on the Dear White People show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's clearly to me, having watched The Great Hack, an effort to get people not to watch The Great Hack.
Yeah.
Which is about Cambridge Analytica and the Trump campaign and the Brexit campaign. And it is not too long. It's not 2 hours long. I think it's an hour and a half long. And it's very watchable. It reminded me a lot of the Big Short.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's easy to watch, easy to understand what's happening. They put personalities and individuals in the story. So it's a story being told rather than detailed outline of computer hacking. It's not a slideshow about hacking. No, it's really, they make it a drama that is watchable and understandable and easy to digest, but also critically important because your data is being stolen. Your friends' data is then being stolen. It's a very, very valuable commodity. And it is not yours anymore. It belongs to big tech. And it is being used by evil people to put evil people in power.
This is why Ron Fournier and Matthew Dowd and the rest of these fuckers who are talking about both sides are awful. Hillary and Trump are equally bad.
Yeah.
I'm voting for a third party.
Grand duopoly. Yeah, the great duopoly.
The corrupt duopoly. Yeah. Bring the whole system down. We need to disrupt. They all might as well have been working for Donald Trump.
Right.
And that's what made me so fucking mad, because we could see it happening in real time. They took the Cambridge Analytica lie, hook, line, and sinker, and used their massive media platforms to convince enough people that there was no point in voting at all. Everything was fucking corrupt. just stay home, which is exactly what...
Or just vote third party to disrupt the duopoly. Yes,
well, then you can go home and call yourself a good person because you didn't support the corrupt duopoly. And now, this week, this very week, Matthew Dowd is out saying, you know what we don't do enough of? We don't hold enough people accountable who didn't mention race during the last election, how racist Republicans are and Trump voters are. Yeah, we should. Jesus, that would have been a really good thing to do.
I do recommend it. I don't want to spoil it any more than I already have. Go see it. It's on Netflix. It's called The Great Hack.
But I do want to underscore that there are much larger villains at play here.
Yeah.
One of the quotes from the thing is that data is now more valuable than oil.
Right.
And the big players, the Facebooks, are really the monsters behind this thing.
Oh, yeah. It's money. It's just money. And this is why Donna Brazile, I'm not surprised that she's on Fox playing the both sides game. No. It pays to do that.
It does.
It gets you a house. It gets you a paycheck. It puts a roof over your head. Yeah.
The brutal fact is we have plenty of liberal billionaires. We have Tom Steyer, who's willing to set fire to giant piles of money to get himself on the debate stage. Rich liberals will not invest in the basic infrastructure of media and messaging and change.
Well, and now there's pushback in Congress about that, and AOC and her team are going against unpaid internships and saying, exposure doesn't pay the bills.
No.
And
trust me.
Trust us. Oh yeah, we'll let you write for us for exposure. I mean, we fall into that trap at Crooks and Liars because we don't have any money to pay people.
Right. Right.
And if we had a billionaire angel investor, but Breitbart does. That's the thing. So
just like Fox News.
Yep.
Rupert Murdoch is willing to put in a shitload of money to create the Weekly Standard. You know how long the Weekly Standard was around? Decades. Because Rupert Murdoch gave Bill Kristol a big sack of money and said, go hire a bunch of people, a bunch of conservative writers, and make me a respectable conservative journal.
Right.
And he bought, Sun-Times.
From that magazine can be on TV promoting my ideology.
And they can be on my TV station because now I'm going to have a TV station.
Right.
And it is maddening to me that all of the things that I see and hear on social media about what liberals should do and what liberals should take on is like, really? Because you know what money buys? It buys capacity and time.
Mm-hmm.
It buys capacity and time. And every liberal I know is scrambling around trying to cover 10 issues or 10 things that they should be focusing on one. Right down the street from us, there's the Illinois Policy Institute, which has plenty of money to crank out crackpot right-wing white papers and crackpot right-wing. They're never broke. They have plenty of staff. And it is if liberalism finally fails in this country, if the back is finally broken and this country has to rebuild itself over the next 50 years from, drag itself out from the rubble of what Republicans have done to it, the big untold story will be rich liberals are too fucking cheap to pay to save their own country. They had vanity projects and they had a bunch of other things, but they wouldn't invest money in their own media like the right did. The only reason that the right wing wins elections is they have their own fucking TV network and their own radio network and their own church. And all of those things cost money and it has to be patient money. They have to wait 10, 15, 20 years for the payoff. And I just don't see anyone on the left willing to do that. I see a lot of rich liberals on social media willing to exhort the peons, the folks in the field like you and I, to just work harder and do more and get angry and protest and march, which are all great things. But if you want a megaphone big enough to shout down Fox News, you have to pay for it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the problem. And that's the thing that Elizabeth Warren has said, which is let's get the money out of politics. But first, we have to play on a fair playing field. And so, she's willing when she's on a playing field with other Democrats to say no PAC money. But when you're fighting Donald Trump and seeing that he has, a 641-page list from the FEC of incorrect and not acceptable donations coming into his campaign, and then he's getting $250,000 per ticket fundraisers with Mr. SoulCycle.
Yeah.
In the Hamptons, and you're going to fight on that playing field with that kind of money, you're not going to be able to win.
Well, and we are fighting a war on two fronts. The number one is the Fox News machine, which is all well documented, and the hate radio, that's all, everyone knows about that. But this week was the week Joaquin Castro published a list of the major donors to Donald Trump in the El Paso area. That's all he
in
did.
In his district, the ones that maxed out.
Right.
Yes. And he wasn't going for the little $5 donator. He wasn't. Yes.
He didn't publish their children's names or their home addresses or their phone number. Right. He didn't dox them, which is, you know, what every concern. And believe me, this freaked the right out.
Because you're tearing the Klan hood off.
They don't want to take responsibility for backing fascists. They want the benefits, but they don't want their neighbors looking at them funny, which is exactly what he's talking about. He said, look, these guys.
Well, excuse me, Driftglass, but how many listeners do we have who have written to us and said, I live in a red area.
Yep.
I cannot have a carry bumper sticker on my car because my husband will lose business.
Oh, yeah.
My daughters will not be invited to babysit if I even have, you know, anything resembling I support Democrats on my car.
And that has happened to us.
Yeah.
In a roundabout way where we live. I mean, I know some well-off liberals in town. They're very nice people. They promote good causes, but they're very clear that the reason they can get away with it is they're independently wealthy.
Right.
They don't have to work for anybody to get their cause done. And if you do, you damn well better shut your fucking mouth and not take a position on anything that contradicts the five families, the conservative families who run the town.
All conservative real estate agents. Yes. But
this was him publishing public records. Literally, you can look this up. I looked it up. I've looked up people in my neighborhood. You know this.
We did, didn't we?
We did. So it's a lot of fun. You can play. It's a game you can play at home. And that, but the two front war we're fighting is number one on the right, the screaming, yelling, lunatic right who has their own media complex and book publishing houses, and they're just fully self-contained. But then there's Maggie Haberman in the New York Times who lost her shit because Joaquin Castro opened the books, already public books, on which businesses are bankrolling the American Fascist Party.
Right. And racism.
A reporter at the New York Times freaked out because he published publicly available information on Twitter.
It seems to me that a certain reporter at the New York Times published Clinton Foundation donors in 2016.
Yeah, and emails and WikiLeaks shit and, you know, and the Pentagon Papers and everything to do with Watergate. Why is it that this one leak of publicly available information completely made Maggie Haberman shit herself and said that I've gone too far? Well, I think she knows what it is. She knows that a substantial fraction, not an overwhelming percent, but some fraction of New York Times readers and New York Times psyche is about never, ever hold Republicans accountable in a freestanding way. It always has to be both sides. It always has to be both sides. And you can't just put a list out there and say, these are the people that support the fascists. Because who knows what might happen? Yeah, I might stop buying oil from Joe because I found that Joe gave $2,500 to Donald Trump. That is exactly what may very well happen. But the fact that they're so fucking terrified of making the right angry that they will immediately leap to the conclusion that publishing a list of just names and donations, which once again is publicly available information, would make a New York Times reporter lose their mind is maybe a clue as to why the New York Times is so fucked up. You know what? The flip side of that is Beto O'Rourke made himself a hero for 15 minutes this week.
He said the F word.
He did.
To
he
a said reporter about his question. I was impressed with that. I was impressed with Beto O'Rourke all week. He should run for the Senate in Texas again. I doubt that he's going to be a presidential candidate, our nominee. I just doubt that he is. I'm not against him. But
no matter who.
It's a study in contrast between how Beto O'Rourke handled himself in El Paso this week compared to how Donald Trump handled himself in El Paso this week.
Yes,
Beto O'Rourke suspended his campaign, went home, got together with his wife, went to speak to victims and to a community that is distraught, and didn't talk about himself and didn't talk about his campaign and didn't talk about vote for me.
His crowd size.
No. He talked about healing. He talked about justice. And he embraced his community. He went home. He talked to them. He hugged people. He handed his cell phone to a man who was crying and needed to get in touch with somebody. He said, here, call them. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's yeah. he helped. And it was a time for the mainstream media to turn their attention to him because he's yes. there where there is news. And uh-huh. they proceeded to ask him really stupid questions. Like, well, you don't think Trump's a racist, do you? What the fuck, man? Yes, I do. Of course yeah, I fuck? Do.
Yes.
Why are you trying really... to pretend that this is my least favorite word these days in media? Controversy. Let's talk yeah. about this is very controversial. No, it's not. It's not controversial at mm-hmm. all. Controversy means mm-hmm. that the vast majority of people have different opinions about something. The vast majority of people, right. first of all, we found out this week via a poll in Morning Consult that the vast majority of people, including Republicans, would like to see assault rifles banned.
We've never even tried that in this. Oh, yeah, we did. And that's right. And then George W. Bush let that lapse. And the number
55% of Republicans and, of course, 83 or 84% of Democrats would like to see these right. weapons simply removed from the shelves. Just ban them. Yeah.
But what about if we just ban violent video displays? Yeah. What about no. we do that? We'll meet
boycott,
you halfway.
Boycott Walmart we'll is halfway. Trending, is the number one trending thing right now. Boycott Walmart. And right in time for mm-hmm. back to school. So good for that. Let's do it. I'm all for that. So let's go down our list a little bit because there's a lot to talk about.
I also want to remind people yes. we are still, this is our 506th
episode.
This is our 506th episode in which we have been completely unsponsored by the New York Times. 506
realize,
in a row.
Do you realize our 8th wedding anniversary is in 10 days?
Holy crap. God. What?
Yeah.
Well, yes, I realize that, Blue Gal. Yes,
I know you do. Because you talked about with me last night. Like, what do you want to do for your anniversary? Oh, okay.
I think we worked something out. I think we know
what I think we worked out. I think we have
yeah.
a plan
yeah.
for how to celebrate.
Will it interrupt our podcast schedule?
No.
506 episodes.
Didn't interrupt
no.
our podcast schedule.
Wedding surgery, all kinds
wedding
of stuff has never
surgery, been, so. Medical emergencies. We love talking with you guys. So,
oh, by the way, I do want to put out a shout out to the listener who sent us a bat net last year.
We needed it this week.
We needed it this week. We got another bat.
We just a baby bat in our yeah. dining room. Yeah.
Neither. Just hanging there, just sleeping.
He
like
was
a,
sleeping.
Like a
yeah.
But, and when the cats were like, dude, how do you not see this? This is the most amazing thing I've ever
the
seen.
The cats
why are you
were
not...
just staring up at the ceiling. Oh, I couldn't figure God. Out what was going on.
Mm-hmm. The gypsy woman was right.
The yeah. top of the curtain rod was this little baby bat. And
little
I didn't.
Bat.
I don't like bats in my house. No. So. We no. found the bat net. Thank you very much for sending the bat. And it's
someone's
it's
a
lovely
net.
Thing because it catches the bat safely and right. we're able to deposit it outdoors.
Yes, and free. Go pee
not,
free.
Not harm anybody. But yeah, the cats would love to have another bat. I
sure.
think, you know.
Sure. But neither rain nor sleet nor surgery nor anniversaries nor bat invasions
right.
will stop this podcast.
That's true.
Even though the New York Times refuses to sponsor us, we're still going forward with the plan. We're still doing the big plan.
Yeah. The plan is a podcast every week. I also want to mention, I want to thank Tammy, our angel
yes.
nerd.
Oh, she, gosh, yeah.
For my birthday, our anniversary, laminated a giant cornfield resistance poster for us.
She did.
And it's fantastic. And we will definitely be using it at protests and marches around the country.
Well, she also said in big, bright letters that this is for your video cast when you do
See?
That, right?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Hint, uh-huh.
nudge, nudge,
this is
going
to go in the background of your video cast. Hint, hint, hint. Okay.
Nobody wants to see this guy. Nobody wants to see this guy.
Well, maybe middle child and I will do something together again. We sure. did something a sure. while back. And then I also want to thank the podcast listener who sent us some science fiction posters.
Yes, yes. This is not excluding all the other lovely people who send
people
us all kinds
of things.
People send
us all kinds of gifts and things. And we have some books to talk about later in the month and a mm-hmm. bunch of other things, good things to talk about. But for now, those two things, posters this week, poster week, we appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Thank you, both of you, for sending those. Let's get back to our list of things to talk about. Christopher Gribbs, a soybean farmer from Ohio whose family owns and operates 560 acres of land, told CNBC on Thursday that he won't be voting for President Donald Trump again in the upcoming 2020 womp, womp. Election. He's losing the Ohio farm vote.
Mm-hmm. That's just a shame.
And Trump also bragged about, he does have a fan, though. He bragged about his new very beautiful letter from Kim Jong-un.
He did. And that Kim tells him that he wasn't happy with the war games, South Korea. And so Donald Trump agreed they shouldn't happen. And maybe South Korea should pay the U.S. Give us some money. Give us some of that money. Moscow Mitch, by the way, is having a really bad week.
Moscow Mitch is having a very bad week.
Just a real bad week. He is now occupying my old cell in Twitter jail, which I think is pretty exciting.
Did you leave him anything under the mattress?
I left that carving on the beam above the door, like in Shawshank Redemption. Why can't I think of it? It's got its own network now. It just plays 24/7. He complained that the protesters outside of house were making serious calls to violence, which meant they were calling him a stupid shithead outside of his house, which is just incredibly mean. Now, protests are so mean, Blue Gal, because he wouldn't consider any bills passed by the House at all to strengthen anything to do with gun sales or background checks or anything. Because
he also put his campaign tombstones for AOC and socialism and Democrats and gun bills and all the other bills. They had tombstones for the Grim Reaper, thinking that was cute.
And they had a bunch of his high school boys in their Team Mitch t-shirts groping and choking a cardboard cutout of AOC, because that's on brand for Massacre
Republican
Mitch.
Republican men. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
And it's like, wow. I mean, you got to learn to sort of play your fuck ups out over time, Mitch.
All in one week.
All in one week, really kind of, oh shit, this guy's still in the office. And this guy really is the problem. This guy is the guy with his boot on the throat of democracy. Yep. This is the guy who, even if Joe Biden wins and gets into office and says, you know, this filibuster thing is a sacred ancient institution, I don't want to touch it, Joe Biden's presidency will be over.
Right.
Because Mitch McConnell will just choke it to death using
That's
the same
technique. No, filibuster isn't over. It'll take 60 votes to get anything, and you never will. Because I won't anything that will get 60 votes, I just won't let on the floor of the Senate.
Yeah, that's the strategy.
That's how it works.
So come on there, Joe. I know the Senate was great back in the olden days.
When he had one of those brick cellular phones.
Yeah. And had a young lady who would dial it for him. Guess what I'm calling you on? And then, you know, the charge would last 8 minutes, and it was, you know, very dangerous to your health to get too close to your head, which is why he had to have hair plugs, because he lost all his hair with his big brick cell phone. I mean, that's just true. That's just science. Anyway, as we mentioned.
There was a resignation today.
Yes, there were two, actually.
Oh, Matt Gaibart.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of a different one. You go ahead with Matt Gaibart.
Matt Gaibart was a foreign affairs officer assigned to the Bureau of Energy Resources, who also ran a Washington, D.C. area chapter of a white nationalist organization. Oh, no. I hate it when that happens.
Oh, no.
He hosted white nationalists at his home, and he published white nationalist propaganda online. That Joaquin Castro must have published his name.
Yeah. He's really a four-tool player. He publishes them. He broadcasts them. He has them in his home. I assume he sleeps with them. I don't really know, but he seems to be really into white nationalism and racism, which is why I'm sure he got a job in the Trump administration. No, this week, the deputy director, Susan Gordon, of the National Intelligence Service, resigned and will step down August 15th on the same day her boss is quitting. Dan Coats is leaving. And it's not because she wants to pursue other opportunities. And it's because, shit, these people want to do things their way. Fine. Do it your way. I'm out. Yep. And that should really scare the shit out of everyone.
Wonka said her letter was a real fuck you to Donald Trump. Yeah,
it was. It absolutely was. The other guy who's leaving is the main Department of Justice official who was responsible for the Trump administration trying and failing to put a citizenship question on the census. Mm-hmm. He is resigning to spend more time with his family while, quote, discerning next steps, which I think is like an emo band from the 90s. I'm pretty sure. Discerning next steps. They just play like one lute and they talk about their feelings a lot. A lot of people are quitting. Really awful people are quitting because they were unable to fulfill Donald Trump's wish to put through an entire fascist agenda in one term. And other ones are quitting because Donald Trump is getting way too close to being able to put through a fascist agenda in one term. So it's just the people in the middle, you know, the Boltons and the Millers who are sticking around. By the way, if you'd like to catch up with any of these people, in October, just in time for my birthday, the Washington Examiner is holding its political summit in Georgia, I believe. Beautiful time of year in Georgia. It's going to have Sarah Huckabee Sanders, John Kelly, Marsha Blackburn, Scott Walker, Ken Starr, Devin Nunes, Kevin McCarthy, Karl Rove, Dave Perdue, Byron York, Fred Barnes, Selena Zito, Tim Carey, a cast of thousands. Oh, my goodness. How could you say no to a sweet, sweet weekend like that? Listening to these people tell you.
I tweeted that out and said, you know, it's Georgia in October telling Dante's Fifth Circle of Hell to eat your heart out.
Oh, my beer.
Yeah.
Oh, my very large beer.
And we have a pool going in. I don't know how we're going to judge this pool, but over at the Crooks and Liars staff, we have a pool going as to who will tell the biggest lie at the Washington Examiner political summit. My money's on Marsha Blackburn.
I'm going with, I got to put my money on Zito.
She's pretty much a huge liar.
Is it just a liar, or is it a lie that is sort of the distance the lie covers between the truth and reality?
I don't know. I don't know how we're going to judge this. The headline making lie, I think, is what we're looking for.
Yeah. It'll be a real team effort, I'm sure.
But yes, it sure is good to know that Scott Walker has work.
Oh, yeah. And always will.
And always will. This is Wing Nut Welfare. Absolutely.
It absolutely is. This week, the National Rifle Association warned Donald Trump against endorsing background checks for gun sales.
Well, and then Donald Trump came out and said, well, you know, we're working with the NRA on possible legislation. Why would you come out and say that?
Because it is – shit's getting so bad for them that they have – what they're really saying – here, let me translate it for you. We're going to give you the absolute minimal, shitty, tiny little bit that we can possibly get away with, probably with a poison pill inside of it, and then throw up our hands and say anything more than that is socialism.
And
lefties don't want to do anything.
Put a poison pill in and blame Democrats for not voting for it. Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's sad that we know how this play will end, but we've been to this theater a million times and seen this show a million times. So that's the way she goes. Would you like to continue, my dear?
Sure. Lindsey Graham promises to repeal Obamacare if Trump and the Republicans win in 2020. Does he want to lose?
Oh, Lindsey.
Because he was talking about, Social Security and Medicare and how we have to, quote unquote, fix those with Laura Ingraham about 2 weeks ago.
Well, and I heard please go ahead.
I just wonder if his way out is to lose his seat.
Well, I heard an alternate theory, which is this is all just speculation.
Right.
Now, we tend to speculate about Republican motives and methods and directions
and
they take
generally.
Based on
what you're seeing. Yeah.
And that's, in case Donald Trump's head explodes.
Yeah.
Just the amount of lies and KFC he's stuffing into his face finally becomes too much. And he is medically unable to form full sentences and is unable to run. Then Lindsey Graham can swing into action.
Oh, I see.
As the logical number two guy, because it nobody's going to vote for Mike Pence,
right?
Mike Pence, nobody. It would be like running, I don't know, Dan Quayle dipped in Jerry Falwell's ass juice.
Right.
It'd be like the worst possible case of, and he has no charisma.
Yeah.
He's a horrible person. He sounds like he's reading from a teleprompter at all times.
Yeah.
He is just there in case something happens and we need somebody to come in and fulfill the Mercer's agenda. I don't know why Lindsey Graham is doing what he's doing other than the fact that he lives where he lives and he wants to please the, gas sipping, toe picking idiots who think Donald Trump is the second coming.
Yeah.
And it's literally that. Lindsey Graham doesn't have a soul.
No,
he has no conscience.
I don't think he does. I think he really just is a.
And he'll.
Automaton for this party and this ideology. Yeah. All right. Trump without evidence. You really don't need to put those words in there. Accused Google of, quote, very illegal, unquote, acts to subvert his 2016 presidential campaign. And that's why he wasn't elected president, right?
Right.
And
sad.
He'll be watching the company very closely ahead of the 2020 election. Okay.
I'll be watching the Google with my eyes. I'll watch the Google.
Trump's on vacation now, but he's still watching the Google and the Fox.
He watches everything all the time. You know, he's Cerberus. He can watch everything all the time. Andrew McCabe filed a lawsuit against the FBI and the Justice Department, alleging that he was illegally demoted and fired in retaliation for not being sufficiently loyal to Trump. In any other universe, this is just a layup. This is a one-day court case. It's like, yep, here are your damages. You get your job back, or you can have behind what's behind door number three. Suing the Justice Department and the FBI is pretty smart.
That's how you get discovery. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. The Trump campaign paid for more than 2,000 Facebook ads this year that included the word invasion in relation to immigration, and they have no intention of stopping. Again, go watch The Great Hack on Netflix, you'll learn more about Facebook than you want to know, but you need to know it.
July was the hottest month that humans have ever recorded since recording began more than a century ago.
Wall Street suffered its worst day of 2019 as China answered Trump's threat to add 10% tariffs on another $300 billion in Chinese imports by dropping its currency to an 11-year low against the dollar.
Mm-hmm. You know, trade wars are easy to win.
Rugel.
I didn't know if you knew that. They're straightforward and they're easy to win. Mark Thiessen, who works for the Washington Post for no explicable reason, he's a former Bush speechwriter and one of the leading torture pimps of the Bush administration, wrote this week that there were no safe spaces or trigger warnings for young people fighting in the Warsaw Uprising. That's right. Unless you fought Nazis in the Warsaw Ghetto during World War II, you're a pussy who should sit down and shut up about the deer.
Wow. Leader. Where did Mark Thiessen serve?
He served under George Bush, way under George Bush. Yeah. Yeah. Let's torture some more people. I'll be behind my desk writing op-eds and things like
all
that.
Right.
Oh yeah. So no, he's just a creature. He's a vole who lives in the skirting board and who should absolutely not have a job at the Washington Post, but he does. Maybe someday some scrappy reporter will figure out how all this works and tell the rest of us how it
can
goes.
Can I talk about the butter cow?
Oh yes, please. It's a big deal.
This week is the week before, it's 10 days before school starts. And that means it's time for the Illinois State Fair. The Illinois State Fair, in Springfield, Illinois, just north of us. And as is per tradition, they have a butter cow. That is a life-size cow carved entirely from butter. It's in a very cold room to keep it nice and cold. And they have cones around it, and the cones are made of butter too, which is hilarious. Don't touch the butter cow. It's what they're trying to tell you. But this year there's a new thing, Drift Class. They have virtual butter cow. You can go online and look at the butter cow. Yes. From the comfort of your own home. That's a new thing
this year.
The virtual butter cow. Yes. So I will be sharing that at our Facebook page I'm not going to make it Internet Kitty, but it will be at our Facebook page. It will be at my blog. I'll put it up at my blog, Blue Gal.
You know who a true butter cow connoisseur is, Blue Gal? Charlie Pierce.
Does he love butter cows?
He loves butter cows more than
food on a stick.
More than food on a stick. He is currently winging his way to Des Moines, I believe, for the Iowa State Fair.
Yeah.
But he was doing this sort of microscopic comparison between the Massachusetts. I think it was the Massachusetts, but I'm not sure. It was their butter cow, which is the Apollo 11 butter cow, which features, I believe. And again, I probably have the state completely wrong. I'm chalking it up to Charlie being from Massachusetts. Yeah. But they have Buzz Aldrin and a butter Neil Armstrong. And it's all Apollo 11. Wow. Now, our butter cow has a hat, so made of butter. So that's about the best we can do. But he is a connoisseur of these things. And really, the Iowa butter cow is, they're just not putting in the effort they used to. This used to be a thing they were proud of. And I guess Iowa pride is out the window. But
what is the deal with the hard hat on our butter cow? Infrastructure? It's like infrastructure thing. Okay. But our butter cow does have a hard hat on it. So.
And our governor passed a budget finally, and
he did, he unveiled the butter cow too, and that's a good thing because our governor is kind of portly. I will say for him to unveil the butter cow and having passed a budget and having made pot legal, he's done a lot, and he's only been governor for a little while since January.
I believe all the people who were denied back pay when Bruce Rauner was fucking the state up are starting to get their back pay now, which makes us happy because I assume at least some of them are subscribers and would like to send us a little of that.
Yeah, right. Well, and spend money in Springfield. I mean, the state workers that are here have been really hurting. So that's good. That's good for J.B. Pritzker to, with his you know, he's dressed in khakis and a plaid shirt for the state fair. You know, that's nice, too. He doesn't wear fancy Chicago clothes.
No. He
I'd like
comes
to talk
down.
About our former governor, if you don't mind. Yeah. Blago.
Have you heard about
what's happening with Blago and how the Trump might commute his sentence?
Yeah, he's backed off a little bit because apparently someone told him that no, Democrats really hate his guts.
The person that told him it would make Democrats love him was Jared. Jared thought it was a great idea to commute the sentence of Rod Blagojevich. And because he's a Democrat, and no one wants you to do that. We want that asshole to stay in jail. He's corrupt as hell.
When I was doing shots with Jared over at Floyd's Thirst Parlor, talking about
there is a place in Springfield called Floyd's Thirst Parlor.
Great
people,
by the way. Great pool tables on the second floor.
I know
the owner. Yes. I know the owners. They're nice guys. Go on in. They have it's
nice
a wonderful
guys.
Place. And the owner also owns a barber shop, which is also a bar, which is amazing. So
the only thing adults do in Springfield is look at butter cows and drink.
Yeah. Yeah. Occasionally they do podcasts like this one.
That's their fun.
but when I was doing shots with Jared at Floyd's Thirst Parlor, we talked about what Democrats love. And I was just kidding. Mm-hmm. I said, you know what would be great? If you would pardon Blago, that would be fucking amazing. Democrats would love you, man.
Expecting
they would love
him
you.
To fall for that.
And he was writing this shit down. Really? Oh yeah. No. You know what? Yeah. And other things we like in this state are if you can work in like incredibly insulting comments about Lincoln, that'd be great. We love that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's great.
So he's kind of an idiot, and we took him for a lot of money.
Total idiot.
I told him I didn't know how to shoot pool and took him for, geez, God, the lease on his building in New York.
You know, if you've got any money, we could have a friendly game.
Okay. Let's go upstairs and play pool. That sounds like fun. Yeah. And I shouldn't have taken pity on him, really. I should have taken him for every nickel. Do you want to talk about the other story from Illinois that's more interesting?
Yeah, this is the one I want. Well, first of all, we have to mention that a new Pentagon report blames Trump for the rise of ISIS in Syria and Iraq.
Yeah.
And
the Obama Pentagon.
The Obama Pentagon.
No,
okay.
And, no, not the Obama Pentagon.
Well, there was someone on Twitter who said, oh, come on, Trump's only been president for 2 years.
Right. That's right.
It never stops.
It never stops.
Yeah. You know, and then it's, well, you know, it will be. Trump's not president anymore. We don't have to talk about him.
I remember that.
Remember that. Bush isn't president anymore? So we totally stopped talking about him, right?
January 20th, 2009 at 12:01. Right. Suddenly, that Bush isn't president. Nothing's his fault. Everyone shut up. What about the Kenyan usurper who stole the White House? Let's talk about him now.
Right.
And that's
Michelle Malkin.
This is what will happen. We know it's coming. The question is, what
coming.
Are we going to do
Burn
about
the
it?
Lifeboats.
Exactly.
Burn the lifeboats. And, all right. But talk to us about the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum, which we love. It is a tourist destination in Springfield and has a wonderful collection.
It's a treasure.
Of Lincoln memorabilia and actual Lincoln objects and letters. Yes. And it is an actual library. So there is researchers use it frequently for Lincoln research. It's the place to go for Lincoln research. But they made the news for another reason this week.
They did. They decided to climb in bed with Glenn Beck. Again, by the way, this has happened a couple
and
of times.
And I know that was not on your bingo card, people.
No. The what? What now? Yeah.
He did what?
Yeah.
Yes.
In a couple of ways. One is that Mercury One is a Texas nonprofit founded by Glenn Beck. And on their website, they talk about how the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library was a partner in a recent week-long exhibit on slavery at the institution in Irving, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not clear what artifacts they might have gotten loans from the museum. The museum sent the Gettysburg Address and other artifacts down there. It was not well planned. It was not well executed. The Mercury One has also, and I'm quoting directly from an article in the Illinois Times by Bruce Rushton, who wrote a wonderful story about the Professional Left podcast last year. And we were thrilled. We appeared in our local paper. Mercury One has also provided a landing spot for former Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library Chief Operating Officer Michael Little, who resigned last fall after he left an unattended in the Old State Capitol a 19th century book certifying that Lincoln, then a new lawyer, had good moral character. School children had collected pennies to buy the book, and he just sort of left it laying there. And they thought, you know what? That's a lot of fucking nerve. That's not what we want in the person in charge of the library. We should make him go away. And that's when Glenn Beck opened his heart and said, come work for me. Yeah. That would be lovely. Come down here. So I understand that Mercury One does some good stuff, and that's all great. But any institution that has Glenn Beck's stank on it shouldn't be anywhere near Abraham Lincoln's library or legacy or anything yep. else. Find someone else to give you money. Find someone else to support your
cause. It's almost impossible. I mean, this is what we're talking about, is that the people that have the money to throw around and throw around influence, and you have the rest mm-hmm. of us scrounging for $5, you know? And if you mm-hmm. have that imbalance, they're going to go to Glenn Beck's nonprofit. Because Glenn Beck loves money Lincoln. Wins. So then, you know, his nonprofit is going to support the Lincoln Library. And it doesn't mm-hmm. matter that he's an awful person who ravaged truth for years on television.
Yeah. And then to be fair, he was a Never Trumper for 5 minutes, just long enough to get a story about him
in the New York Times. Anna Marie Cox, right?
Yeah. In the New York Times about how he changed his heart and he had a change of heart. And then, great. Cool. Okay, I can play them out. I can string them along a little bit more. Oh, I guess I'm not a Never Trumper anymore. I love Donald Trump. Yeah. Here's my hat. And this is the same dumb shit that way too many liberals fall for, frankly. I can understand when you have no place else to go and your pockets are empty and someone's offering you
a
way out. I can understand doing it. I've taken jobs I didn't like, I didn't want to do. I've taken jobs that were beneath me in a lot of ways, or were just painful to do, to keep you know, a roof over my head. I've done that before. I understand that. I'm never going to work for Team Evil, but I have done jobs that I didn't like because it was necessary to pay the bills. But man, going to Glenn Beck, it really is like Jimmy Stewart going to Mr. Potter and saying, yeah, sure. Okay, I'll take that deal. Yeah. Don't take that deal. Find some other way to do it. Because all you're doing is you're trading. Yeah. This is what Donna Brazile did. You're trading your credibility for a paycheck. And the minute you do that, you're going to become their best friend. Every time anyone has anything bad to say about Fox News, Donna Brazile, she works for us. Are you insulting Donna Brazile? Donna Brazile, you know, she was head of the Democratic Party. We're a very open and understanding organization.
Again, I'm going to say it again. Go see The Great Hack. Go watch The Great Hack. It's exactly what happened. Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitties are semi-famous.
Oh, yeah.
Fred and Ginger are cats who hold the position of feline rodent abatement team at the Phillipsburg Manor in Sleepy Hollow, New York. And they have been in the local newspaper. They are actual working cats. Mm-hmm. And because they are working cats, Fred and Ginger definitely deserve Freshly Poured Cat Food, our fake sponsor. Whether you buy Pet Store Perfection or Dollar Store Dreck, your Colonial Tourism attraction cat will sit on the scullery floor and demand that the cat food they eat is only freshly poured. And you can visit Fred and Ginger at our Facebook page or website. You can send your internet kitty or other pet to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, or you can also write to both of us. And allow me to add, Fred and Ginger were sent in by a podcast listener. I didn't just pick this up off the internet. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions. Letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. It is the season for iced coffee.
Oh, yeah.
So if you can afford to buy a slushy or an espresso-based cold beverage for yourself, do buy one for us. This is not charity. This is a labor of love, and it's our job. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. Our PayPal postal address and Patreon, and GoFundMe and buy us a coffee and all of those links, including merch. It's all mm-hmm. there.
We have merch.
We have merch. We have Both Sides Don't Bumper stickers and t-shirts. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're fantastic. Just go and check them out. Line up. You're going to want one of those for next year for the election. You're going to want a Both Sides Don't Bumper sticker or t-shirt. You're going to want one of those for sure.
And get them now while it's Both Sides Don't, because I have a feeling much, 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 much larger podcasts are going to come out with a hashtag Both Sides Do Not t-shirts. And and so get the original now
get
before
the, original.
The knockoff.
There you go. You don't want a knockoff. No.
Nah, nobody wants that.
Please share our show on social media. And thank you so much for doing that. Hey, Drift Class, how are the internet kitties doing this week?
You know, Blue Gal, the internet kitties don't think Tucker Carlson is really on vacation.
Let's think about living. Think about living. Let's think about loving. Think about loving. Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-dovey. Let's forget about the whine and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license, copyright 2018, DGBG Productions Incorporated.